This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm your host for the first hour, Corey Fleck, and I want to thank everybody who is joining us this weekend, taking some time out of their day to listen in, whether it's on the radio, our podcast, Corlin Economics Report, or on our website, kereport.com. Please also check out our website because there's a lot of commentary that is shared through our listeners. And I read over all the comments, and I appreciate all the comments. And one other reason to visit our website just this weekend is I'm going to be posting just a short little post on the companies that interested me the most from the recent Beaver Creek Conference. I'm just simply going to list these companies. I am hoping to have them on our show in the next few weeks to few months as their stories kind of develop, and it seems to be the right time. But in the meantime, I'd love to hear from everybody what they have to say about the companies that caught my eyes and what was a great conference. That being said, let's get this show underway. I'm chatting now with Dan Oliver. He is the founder of Myrmican Capital, based out of New York. And Dan, it's been a little while since I had you back on the show, so let's start off by talking about the precious metals sector. We saw gold earlier in September break out above 1,300, still not get above that 2016 high. But on the flip side, we didn't see silver break out to new highs for the year. So maybe this rally was a bit more politically and, hey, even environmentally driven. Dan, take us through your assessment of the precious metals, more specifically gold, as we stand right now, please.
Yeah, well, I think gold is clearly in a bull market. I mean, we bottomed at the end of 2015, and we're heading higher. And I think everyone in the space still remembers the lurching downsides of the bear market. And so whenever gold takes a tumble, you know, you worry, oh, maybe we're going back into the lows. But in a bull market, you should sell lighten up on rallies and then buy the dips. And I think that's what investors should do. I think this spike above 1,300 and back, and it's very interesting because I think there are all sorts of historical analogies we can draw off the movement. And what I mean specifically is that gold had this big move up towards 1,300 when Houston got hit by the hurricane, and then it really spiked when it looked like Florida was going to get wiped off the map. And the analogy I was thinking about is in 1906, an earthquake flattened San Francisco, and there were enormous insurance claims. In fact, within a few months, 15% of Britain's gold reserves across the Atlantic to settle these claims. So all the people who lost all they had to withdraw their money from the banking system to rebuild. And so there was huge stress on the financial system. And within a year, that brought about higher rates in the panic of 1907, which was a very severe panic. In fact, it was that panic that prompted the formation of the Federal Reserve. And the idea was that next time there was a need to withdraw currency instead of forcing the banks to unwind the credit system, the fresh bank system, the Fed would simply put the money up. And in fact, it did that in the mid-1920s during that bubble. The real estate bubble was focused in Florida. That's nothing new. And it was already succumbing to exhaustion when a hurricane came and flattened half the state. And the Fed thought, aha, we've learned. We're not going to let the bank system unravel. What we'll do is we'll lower rates, buy government bonds, and print a bunch of money, which they did. And that led to the last big blow-off top of the market through 29, and then, of course, the disaster of the Great Depression. And so in a way, it was no surprise that, you know, the market is this emergent property of people acting. I don't know if anyone was actually thinking about this thesis, but that's what happens in markets. And here you have Houston, the fourth largest city by GDP, massively impaired by hurricane, and then the threat of Florida being destroyed as it was in the 1920s, and the prospect of a huge stress in the financial system in the context of the Fed raising rates. When the hurricanes didn't turn out to be as bad as forecast, you know, gold took a big dip. So I think that's what what gold is doing over the summer. But I also think that this credit cycle we're in is maturing, and especially when you have the Fed raising rates. And I did a study recently in one of my letters. I show that every time the major central bank, the Fed in the 20th century and the Bank of England in the 19th century, raises rates within a short period of time, usually 2 to 4 years, you have a big market collapse because all the now investments can't they simply can't sustain their projects in a higher interest rate environment. And so so here you have the absurdity of the Fed saying during the QE process after the panic that QE would help stocks go up, which would create a wealth effect. And now they're saying, hey, when we unwind QE, when we shrink our balance sheet, it won't matter, it can be fine. And I mean, they can't both be true.
It's mind-boggling that they can say that, isn't it? That they admit that their easy money policies move the markets up, but then when they start to take back some of that easy money, they think everything's going to be okay.
It's absolutely crazy. And then you have the prospect of Janet Yellen saying she doesn't understand inflation. I mean, that is her job, is to manage inflation. And they don't understand. Of course they don't understand it because they've got the wrong models. But for her to admit that at a press conference, I thought was extraordinary. And again, it shows how out of touch these guys are and how anyone who, I think, forecasts economic conditions by looking at what the Fed says is going to happen is very unwise. I mean, again, they've done studies to show that the Fed forecasts have absolutely no relation to what happens in the future. So, these bubbles have a life of their own, and they're not really driven by the Fed. I mean, it's important to remember this. The bubbles are caused by the private banks engaging in the fractures of process. And the function of the Federal Reserve is to not allow them to unwind when they're supposed to. So the Fed doesn't cause the bubbles. What they do is they prevent the liquidation of the bubbles. And so, here we are, and the Fed's tightening rates because they're panicked about asset prices, as they were in the late 1920s. They did the same thing. And at some point, there'll be a tipping point. They'll go a little too far, and prices will collapse, and then the Fed will respond in a massive way, much bigger than it was in 2008, to try to prevent the unwind. And the question is, will it work or not? I mean, it has worked in the past, and it'll keep working until all of a sudden it doesn't work. And when it doesn't work, what that will look like is the currency collapsing, gold going crazy. Does it happen the next cycle or not? That I'm not sure about, but it's going to happen, and I think the next round of this process is certainly approaching.
And the fact of the matter is, when we do see these collapses or big market pullbacks, gold, again, is shown as one of those safe haven plays where then it just kind of moves to a higher level. And then if the Fed does and is able to save the markets again, and it isn't that one final time where they can't, then the precious metals kind of come off the burner and everybody gets distracted by risk on equities. And that's almost just a normal cycle. But as we keep on discussing, and I had a great chat with Dana Lyons earlier this week, who pointed out that households are pretty much at a record amount of stock holdings. Plus, we have speculators, the so-called dumb money, continuing to bet on record calm, taking short positions in the VIX. None of these are, let's say, immediate time indicators. But as you pointed out here, Dan, there's just a lot of things, a lot of signs pointing to this late cycle U.S. equity market, and for that, global equity markets that are due for a major correction.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the article, but there was a recently somewhere I saw that, some goateed, out of work fellow had made $20 million trading VIX futures in his living room. When you see stories like that, you know that there's a bubble. Pre-markets don't let that happen. So when it does happen, you know the craziness is happening. I think one of the differences between now and in the mid-2000s is it's less obvious where the bubble is, right? It was a retail housing bubble, so everyone saw it. Everyone told their friends buying houses they couldn't afford. And, the Big Short, we saw strippers buying six houses, that kind of thing. And the bubble now is really in the wholesale markets. It's these pensions that are underwriting subprime auto debt or blowing up, essentially. I mean, I think there was an article yesterday about Kentucky needs to tax every family by $3,400 just to keep the pension fund going for two more years.
Hold on one sec. We need to cut this off for the radio stations, but we're going to be right back and continue on with this conversation. So sorry about that, Dan, but everybody stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Dr. Carolyn Dean wants you to have a free chapter of her new book, The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition, and it's available at magmiracle.com. In your free chapter, Dr. Carolyn Dean explains how magnesium is essential to support the structure and function and overall health of your body. Your free chapter is your guide to learn how to support your heart, bone, metabolic, lung, and mental health with this powerful mineral. The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition is available on Amazon, but right now get a free chapter at magmiracle.com, spelled M-A-G-Miracle.com.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
The stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with my discussion with Dan Oliver. And Dan, I had to cut you off at the end of the last segment, but let's get back into this. You were mentioning the Kentucky Pension Fund that is, well, in dire need of more money, but that's not just the only example out there, is it?
Well, no, it's pension funds. It's states. You know, it's very interesting. I live in New York City, but Connecticut is right across the border. And Connecticut is in terrible shape. And the reason is because they've been surviving off the hedge fund money in Greenwich. And hedge funds haven't done well recently. So, you know, you might have lots of rich guys living there, but if they have no income, there's nothing to tax. We don't have wealth taxes in this country yet, anyway. So they're blowing up. And that'll happen in New York City, too, of course, New York State. Once there's a correction in the markets and the tax revenue dry up, then New York will have major problems. So everywhere you look, I think you see a fraying of the bubble economy. Look, the FANG stocks are very toppy to me. And again, who really needs to spend $1,000 to have a new iPhone that does basically what your old one does? I mean, a couple more bells and whistles, the face recognition. You know, pushing your thumb on the button isn't such a chore that you need the camera. I mean, it might be nice to have, but you have to be the rare bird to spend $1,000 for that functionality. So I think we're really at the fumes of this credit cycle. And again, with the Fed raising rates, it can't be long until we start seeing major liquidations.
With the Fed raising rates and now unwinding their balance sheet starting, well, when this airs, it's going to be starting the very next day. So, again, just another sign in the economy that I think is a bit worrisome. But you have talked about taxes here, Dan, and what about this new tax plan? Everyone thinks that, you know, lowering taxes will help the economy. Trump is still trying to get something through, still hasn't gotten anything through. But do you subscribe that will actually help the economy, that it could be good?
I look, I'm a conservative, and I think obviously the less money government has, the better, and the lower taxes are, the more productive everyone can be. So that is a policy view that I think is history demonstrates is true. On the other hand, if you're talking about the value of a currency, there's a very different perspective. And again, I like to analogize to history, and the incident I'm thinking in this case is that of France following World War I. The French government decided they were going to pay to rebuild all the damaged towns on the border with Germany, but the conservative elements didn't allow the government to raise taxes. They ran enormous deficits, and of course, a deficit hits your currency. Now, in this case, the French said, "Oh, don't worry, the Germans will pay the reparations," and so the franc maintained stability for a time until it was clear Germany wasn't going to pay. And all of a sudden, when that became obvious, when the French occupied the Ruhr, the franc collapsed, and the French had to, they looked over across the border, they saw the hyperinflation in Germany, which was caused by the exact same phenomenon of huge government spendings and low taxes, and they came to a consensus to raise taxes and cut spending. Now, I'm never for raising taxes, but again, if we confine our outlook just to the health of the currency, what destroys a currency is deficit spending. And the U.S. has had this privilege the last half century to print the money and not have to wear the deficits because of the Bretton Woods system and because all the other central banks have to warehouse dollars. But you see, again, all around the globe, what you see is Russia and China now and the Middle East working on non-dollar-denominated settlement mechanisms, i.e. threatening the reserve currency status of the U.S. dollar. And if those arrangements bear fruit, if they move forward, it could really have dramatic implications because at that point, the U.S. would be not like any other country where we would have to manage our deficits in order to sustain the currency. So when I see a tax cut plan with no plan to cut spending, it makes me very concerned or I mean, from the gold investor, hopeful, I'm doing a look at it, that the currency is going to the brunt of that development.
So, Dan, let's bring this full circle. And as you said, as a gold investor, you know what, then it probably will be good for gold. But in times when there is a rush for cash and things in the markets, financial assets are looking horrible, gold can also get hit as well as the precious metal stocks. This has to be on your mind as well.
Oh, sure. I mean, what prompts a financial panic is over indebtedness. People don't have enough currency to pay their debts. If we think about the dollar system, there's $4 trillion of base money right now, and there's about $90 trillion of debt in the whole dollar system. So, and that debt requires interest payments all day long. So where does the money come from to pay those debts? It's a huge, huge Ponzi scheme. And when the Fed stops printing money, that can, you know, start to wobble. And there's a huge demand for cash, because if you don't pay your debts, you lose your collateral. And so people sell what they can and what they have. have to, which is why gold usually gets hit in the initial part of the panic, as it did in 2008. But the moment the whole system starts to wobble, as it did when Lehman started going down, gold got a huge bit, because at that point people think, hey, you know, I don't want to be in the dollar system at all. So that could certainly happen. I think it may not happen. The reason is that the, you know, gold in the last cycle in 2008 had been on a parabolic move that had been going on for 8 years. And so you had a lot of momentum chasers, you had lots of hedge funds and, you know, managed money, levered up money that got washed out. I don't get the feeling in gold, or especially gold mining stocks, that you have that kind of participation. In fact, managed money, I think, it tends to be short gold at the moment. So I have noticed when you do get hiccups in the stock market, gold tends to go up. So they're behaving pretty much on position, which makes me think that gold may just spike higher when the big panic comes. But that's not a high confidence call. Gold certainly could get hit at first. But I think over time, or very quickly, everyone knows what happened last time, which is that the Fed printed the money to bail everyone out of their debts, and that was bad for the dollar, and gold took a step higher. And people will front run that process. So if gold does get hit, and it may, I suspect it'll be hit. It'll be much a shorter process than it was last time.
Okay. Now, Dan, as just a final comment, we only have about a minute and a half left. I know that you do invest in a lot of small and even medium and even big size mining and exploration companies. What has your strategy been this year as we've had, for the most part, a choppy range-bound gold price?
Yeah, so my strategy is really unchanged, and that is I like to look for names that are very levered to the upside. So if gold goes up a little bit, they'll go up a lot. If gold goes up a lot, they'll go crazy, which provides investors with economic insurance. But also companies that have resilience to the downside, because, again, I don't want to be in a situation where gold gets hit in the panic and then some company has to refinance at that moment, or their balance sheet is so thin that they're in operation and they've got to raise capital, or, likewise situation. So I like either development companies that can put things on ice temporarily without too much trouble, or operating companies that they have debt. I want the debt to be a long-dated debt so they can make their payments and not go into default. I mean, of course, the stocks would crush anyway temporarily in the situation, but I want to make sure that the stocks I have maintain their claim on the asset without too much dilution so that I'm around still. I participate when gold bounces and they go much, much higher.
Hey, interesting comments there, Dan. I think that is a good takeaway for all the precious metals investors, including myself, is that if you're investing in some of the riskier stocks, it is a positive to have that leverage, but then also don't get caught in a stock that if things go the other way, that they're going to get hit on the downside, because then you're also going to get hit on the downside. But Dan, hey, it's great having you on the show. We'll be touching base here very soon. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, JP Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. And we're going to shift a little bit away from the precious metals segment and talk more background indicators for the U.S. equity markets and the general health and what is keeping these equity markets at the levels that they are and sometimes even continuing to rise. I'm joined by Dana Lyons. He is a fund manager based out of Chicago. The two articles that we're going to be touching on come from Dana's free blog site. The first one, Dana, talks about how U.S. households are loaded up with stocks. You point out that the U.S. households and nonprofit stock holdings are at levels not seen since 2000. And in fact, the blow-off phase from 98 to 2000, which was the dot-com bubble burst, this is the only time in history that the data has been this high, and this data has been around since 1945. So again, these aren't necessarily the best timing indicators, but to me, this is very noteworthy. Households are, you could almost argue, record invested.
That's right, Corey. And as you said, it's more of a background condition. Gives you, like, the way we look at it is it gives you a sense of the potential long-term risk in the market. It's not a timing tool. It doesn't get you in or out of the stock market on a timely basis, but it gives you a sense of the potential risk in the market. So considering that households at this point have almost 36% of the financial assets in the stock market, that's the highest it's ever been outside of The blow off top in 2000. So it's even higher than, 2007. Of course, the stock market is higher than it was in 2007. So people might argue that, it should be higher at this point, but everything cycles and it's based on, psychology and supply and demand. And even after the decline we saw in 2015 to 16, we saw apprehension on the part of households to get back into stocks. We've seen that reverse over the last year or so, where people are investors and the investing public is pouring money back into the market. So from a long-term perspective, we are at the second highest level ever, going back to 1945, the beginning of the series it's published by the Federal Reserve, second highest level ever in household investments in stocks. So from a potential risk perspective, it signifies extensive risk, a large potential amount of risk in the equity market right now. So again, from a timing perspective, it's not a timing tool, so it doesn't tell you when that potential risk is going to turn into manifested risk, but at some point it likely will. As cycles, that's exactly what a cycle is. It goes from one extreme on the downside to an extreme on the upside, and we expect this one will eventually go to another extreme on the downside. Inherent in that is probably a pretty rough market, some sort of a huge crash or a long extended period where the stock market basically goes nowhere or drifts lower. So some combination of that would get this household investments back down to an extreme on the downside, which we expect it to do eventually. But at the moment, it is one of those long-term background red flags, but not necessarily a trigger to get us out of the market.
And that's one thing to consider, that this data continues to move in this direction or in one direction until something major happens. Households just aren't all of a sudden going to think, you know what, we've made enough money in the markets, let's pull our money out. Usually what happens is that these extreme levels signify tops, and eventually when the market tops, then you see this type of data completely reverse course. And as you mentioned, then on the downside, you can start to see some pretty extreme low levels through the pullbacks and the market crashes. But you brought up to me off mic that through the 2008 crash, we didn't quite see the same, maybe corresponding major pullback in this data that you would expect. Can you explain that, please?
Sure. As we talked about, typically, like the laws of physics, it works in financial cycles. When we see the metrics go to extreme on the high side, for example, at the end of a long secular bull market, they will typically go to, or always go to, an extreme to the other end of the spectrum. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So we expect these metrics to go to an extreme on the low end before, a sustainable, durable bull market can kick off. So, for example, in the mid-60s at the market top, we saw household equities jump over 30% of financial assets at the top. By the end of the secular bear market that ended in 1982, we saw a low of just under 11% of household assets in the stock market. And we saw, as a testament to the sentiment or psychological aspect of household investments, as you mentioned, it's not just a product of if stocks are going up or down. It represents a psychological mentality on the part of investors. Because the market, basically the stock market, basically went sideways from 1966 to 1982. The Dow was exactly unchanged, and yet we saw household equities drift steadily lower from, again, over 30% in the mid-60s to just under 11% in the second quarter of 1982, right at the low of the market. So there is a big psychological aspect to the series. It's not just stocks going up represents, you know, obviously higher market value in terms of their investments. What happens is typically prices blow off to the upside at the end of a cycle, and that entices people and sucks their money in like it did in 2000. Another example is this from basically from the first decade of the secular bull market from 82 to 2000. The first decade saw very little increase in households' investments. It was still, you know, roughly 16-17%, I think, in the early 90s. So very little jump, even though the market had jumped extensively by that point. It was only in the late 90s where we saw a huge jump in households' percentage of assets going into stocks. So that's what we kind of see at the end of moves, and we're seeing that a little bit now with over the last year a pretty sizable jump in household investments into stocks, and it might be part of some sort of a final blow-off move for this this bull market that we're watching.
There is one other article that you posted that I think is, again, another kind of background indicator, not necessarily the best timing indicator, but it shows that the net position for speculators, which are the non-commercial traders, usually considered the dumb money, they're at their record short position for the VIX. This usually means that they think that the markets will just continue to kind of drift up. But again, this is another sign that eventually will reverse and they're going to be caught on the wrong side. That all speaks that eventually there will be this pretty major market correction.
Yeah, correct. This one is probably a little bit shorter term as far as the durational impact than the previous series we talked about. It's one of the byproducts of this proliferation of ETFs that we're seeing, especially in the volatility. We saw just like 5 years ago, the speculators' record net short position just 5 years ago was somewhere around minus 30,000 contracts in the VIX futures. Last week, that jumped to 171,000 net short contracts. So a massive jump in interest over that period.
Dana, unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment, but we will continue this discussion for the weekend show. Everybody visit KEReport.com for that poster.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the Weekend Edition. We're wrapping up the first hour with Chris Martinson, the co-founder of PeakProsperity.com. And Chris, I want to talk about a couple articles that you've put out recently, and I know a topic that's been on a lot of people's minds, and that is, how do we prepare for the next crisis? We have a number of different topics to touch on, but first of all, we look at even what the central banks are doing, and you know, a lot of them around the world are starting to at least look at a more hawkish tone for their monetary policy, and no matter what data points they look at, you have to have the feeling that the overwhelming factor of why they're starting to try to raise rates and the Fed even trying to unwind its balance sheet is because they're almost trying to be prepared for the next crisis, so that the argument is they have some more bullets in the chamber. How do you feel about this point first?
Well, I think that the central banks are basically just lying at this stage. So there was all this hoopla a couple weeks ago. Federal Reserve was talking about how they're going to begin reducing their balance sheet, setting a target of $10 billion a month. Hey, I just opened up the Federal Reserve's statement today and looked at it. What did they pour back into the markets this week? $15 billion. So, you know, they're continuing to shove money into these markets, and you know, this is just what they are doing. They talk about reducing their balance sheet, but everybody knows that when they do that, they're just going to absolutely start to put a bullet in these markets, which seem to be bulletproof, at least if they're equities at this stage.
Well, it's one thing to consider that the Fed keeps on saying that they don't think that it's going to have much downward pressure when they go through quantitative tightening, but they admit that quantitative easing really helped the market. So it seems a bit contradictory on that front, doesn't it?
Sure. It's like saying, reading a headline one day that says weak dollar bullish for stocks, and then literally the next day reading the headline that says strong dollar bullish for stocks, right? You can't have it both ways. You know, pick one. It can't all be true. The markets are inflated on stocks, bonds, and real estate, particularly because The central banks have flooded the world with money. Now, what are we waiting for? Rapid economic growth. That's the only thing that can justify all of this, and I'm using that word loosely. It doesn't really justify it, but that's the only thing that could sort of make this somewhat okay in their minds.
So let's talk about this from a household level, because last segment I had on fund manager Dana Lyons, and he outlined that the households in the U.S. are the most invested since 2000, that blow-off phase of 98 through 2000, where we then had a pretty big market collapse. And this is the second most invested that they've been in the whole history of this data, dating back to the 50s. That's scary to me because, again, households, they're usually last to the party and they get hurt the most.
You know, to put it even more bluntly, Wall Street needs a bag holder before a big downturn can start. It's one of the reasons that I felt that we've been so long delayed in having this top finally happen. It's because it's just smart money against smart money. There's no real advantage when you have Citadel's high-frequency algorithms up against Goldman Sachs's high-frequency algorithms. There's no bag holder in that story. It's sometimes called smart money, dumb money. Call it what you will. But the way the game is played is that, yes, very often the household sector is last to the party. They come in late. They buy billions and billions and billions of product off of these high-frequency trading and proprietary trading groups that exist out there. And then once there's a suitable bag holder, it's okay to let the market go back down again. Wash, rinse, repeat. Buy low, sell high. That's how Wall Street works.
Yeah, and then unfortunately, it's the individuals that get burned, and then they struggle again, and then the central banks step in and help out the big guys who benefit from it all. So it's a very unfair system, you could say. But again, this also speaks to the wealth gap that we're seeing, which is huge and ever increasing. The rich are getting richer. The poor are, unfortunately, continuing to struggle. What are your comments on this aspect?
Well, it's not just the poor. I'm going to say it's basically from the 95% mark on down. What we're seeing is that everybody's struggling. It's you know, you need 138,000 combined income in a household in San Francisco to qualify for low income housing. That's an astonishing number because that's way above the median income in San Francisco, which is closer to 75,000. So you can be fully 1.5 standard deviations above median income and still be considered poor in San Francisco. And the reason for that is don't pay attention to the inflation numbers that just came out that said, oh, only 0.1% inflation. That's so low. It's dangerously low. Well, how is that possible with housing hitting all-time new highs and all over the country on the Case-Shiller Index? How is that possible with new cars costing an average of nearly $34,000 today, when in 1998 they were $17,000 on average? And by the way, I pulled those numbers because if you look at a chart where the BLS says how much have cars cost from 1998 to today, they will tell you they've gone up exactly zero. They've gone up 0% because they're making all these hedonic adjustments to them and saying, well, because they have airbags, they, you know, it's like getting those for free, so we have to deduct from the actual cost. According to the BLS, cars cost in real terms exactly the same today as they did in 1998, but you, as a smart consumer, would notice your wallet would be nearly 100% lighter. That is, they're almost 100% more in actual dollar terms.
Yeah, these inflation numbers are brutal, whether it is housing, rent for housing. You and I were even talking off mic about how expensive cell phones are getting. Every year there's a new cell phone, and that's costing about 20 to 30% more. So, again, the inflation data, they're just not judging it, I think, from an individual level. But again, you also want to look at inflation, look at stock prices and bond values. Both are at extreme high levels. Yields for bonds continue to be very low no matter what the central banks do. Across the board, which is even scary because of how invested households are, with extreme highs in stocks and bonds, where are the safe havens?
You know, I have these conversations all the time with fund managers, and, you know, it's been noted that in other bubbles, 2000 and 2007 notably, there were still undervalued places to go. There's nobody I know who's found anything that even remotely looks undervalued. Even fairly valued is hard to find. Everybody thinks that everything is pretty much overvalued, overpriced, but hey, that's the landscape we live in. The only things that still exist where people can find crevice trades, as I call them, are doing really complex, really sophisticated things, Corey. You know, they're doing things like, well, I'm going to be short volatility on the 2-year treasury. I'm going to be long volatility on the 10-year, and somewhere in that gap, It turns out there's a little safe haven moment in there, I think, you know. So we're having some of our best and brightest people spend ungodly amounts of time trying to find little ways to find something that looks like value in these markets. I wish they were working on helping us build our next energy infrastructure. I wish these brilliant minds were helping to figure out how we're going to invent the next great thing, but they're spending all their time fighting within a completely, completely upside down market, at least in terms of prices. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it is, unfortunately. But Chris, where do you stand on the precious metals? I know a lot of our listeners care about that. Do you also think that there isn't much opportunity in that?
No, it's one of the places I think there's opportunity, but let's be clear. The Western interests have been suppressing the prices of precious metals and other commodities for quite a long time. I think I date it to about 2011 with the announcement of QE3, which was the largest ever announced program of central bank cash infusion buying. That marks within 2 weeks the exact high water mark of commodities. So I do think that on a relative basis, commodities have never been cheaper compared to other financial assets. That's true at this point in time. But what I'm looking for first, before we see a lot of upside there, is possibly more downside, because I'm a believer that deflation is going to win at some point here.
That's scary to think about, but hey, I don't think you are wrong on that. And we also have a few other commentators on our site that also believe deflation is around the corner. As a summary, though, Chris, what are you telling your subscribers about being protected for this next crash?
Well, this is a time to build cash at this point in time. If you believe in the deflation view, you're going to be holding cash. While you do that, while you're building your cash cushion, you're going to be looking for the things that you would buy, knowing what those prices would be. I might be an investor in commercial real estate or rental properties going forward, but I'm going to want to see those cap rates up above 10%. I'm going to be looking for productive farmland and timberland. I'm also going to be looking for selected energy stocks and shares and things that I like there, possibly direct investment in oil wells. I like a lot of these investments, but not quite yet. So build cash and then start writing your buy list and wait.
Great advice, I think. And one other thing to stay up to date on, Chris, is go to his website, peakprosperity.com. He has a wealth of great information there. And, hey, Chris, I always appreciate you joining me on our show every weekend. And just a reminder before I hand it over to Al for the second hour, come check out the weekend special that I'm going to post on the companies that interested me from the Beaver Creek Conference. There were a number of great companies that I talked to out of my 30-plus meetings. And all I'm going to do is post the names of what I found interesting, and I'd love to hear from everybody else as to what you think, if you're invested, or even if you haven't heard of those companies, because I will be introducing them to our audience over the next couple weeks to couple months. Chris, have a great weekend.
Thank you, Corey.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.